Henrietta Raymond, your host for Women Living Fully Radio. I have a special treat for you today. I am interviewing Pat Monsieur, and she left a marriage many years ago with only a garbage bag in her hand. She has an incredible story to share. She had no idea what the future awaited for her, but with her tenacity and her courage and her inner determination to live life to the fullest, she found her way. And now she's an advocate and a leader in the field of personal and professional transformation. In just a moment, Pat is going to join us on Women Living Fully Radio. I can't wait to share her journey and what she's come to learn to help you take steps to move forward and create a life that you want. So without further ado, let me introduce you to Pat. Hi, everyone from Women Living Fully. This is Pierrette Raymond, and my guest today is Pat Monsieur. I'll say it in French, but in English, it's Monsieur. Correct, Pat?
Correct.
Yay. I'm so glad we're together today. We have something very special planned for you. I've known Pat for a few years now, and when I found out what her story was and the work that we're doing through Women Living Fully, I knew I wanted to share her story and share her with you. You're going to fall in love with her the same way that I have, and you're going to be inspired by what she's gone through and where she is now. This is a hero's journey. You're in for a treat, and I can't wait to have Pat tell you a little bit more about herself and what she's been through. So thank you so much, Pat.
My pleasure, Pierrette. First of all, anything for you. Okay. Secondly, anything for your audience, because you're right, my story must get out because I've become the baby boomer poster child of hope, if you will.
Oh, I love it.
That pleases me to no end.
Mm-hmm. Great, great. Hey, do you have a copy of your book nearby?
This one?
Yes. And your other one, too. That's your first one.
That's the first one, yeah.
Do you have the Stop Compromising?
It's in the pile here somewhere. Yes, I have that one, too.
Just so you guys know, Pat and I are recording this before her big event coming up on October 19th. So I know that you might be watching this after October 19th. Go to our website to find out what else she's doing, but this is pre-event, and she's got, we were just talking about it, her office is just full of event stuff, so I kind of put her on the spot.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk a little bit about her book, her story is in her book, so if she happens to go like this while introducing her, well, we're okay with that.
Well, here's why I put this one beside me. This is the first one. This is the first one I wrote when I landed here in my new life.
Okay.
And this is the book that has the 7 steps specifically with the strategies and the templates and fill in the blanks.
Oh, great.
Everything of what I did. So this one is available on the website, and this is the one I believe is appropriate now for your audience. That's why I pulled it out.
And I'm going to purchase a copy, and I'm going to draw a copy for the women of Women Living Fully.
Oh, nice. Nice.
I want someone to get a gift from you on my my treat to them. So let me tell you a little bit about Pat. I do have a little bit of a bio here, so this will help me stay on track and tell you a little bit more about who she is, and so that you can get to know her a little bit more as well. So she's an author, a television personality, internationally acclaimed speaker, and she's a business coach. Her newest book, which is the one we're going to find for you, is Stop Compromising and Make All the Money You Want, which is a do-it-yourself guide to starting up and starting over. And she released that in 2013. She has also co-written Leadership Guru Speak Out, which is her contribution of wisdom and expertise in the fields of human resources, sales, marketing, and training. She regularly appears in media and print publications, and get this, she is the 2012 and 2013 Stevie Awards Female Entrepreneur of the Year in Canada. And in 2014, she was awarded the Stevie Award for Women in Business Female Executive of the Year in Canada. And she was also nominated for the 2014 RBC Canadian Women Entrepreneur of the Year Award. And she's named as one of the top 100 entrepreneur experts to follow on Twitter. How's that?
Tweet, tweet.
Well, her Twitter handle, for those of you that are on Twitter, is Pat Monsieur. And I'm going to spell it. So PatMusseiux. So find her there. And her website is patmusseiux.com.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And according to Pat, her most incredible role is that of grandmother to her 3 outstanding young teens.
The best.
yes. So I want to jump right in. I'm going to hand this over to you. I have some questions here to keep us on track. I want them to, I want your story. I want you to share your story, what you've come to overcome and where you are now. It's a really great story of hope, inspiration. And I think, I do believe the women need to hear more about it. So how about you start by telling us a little bit about yourself?
I'm happy to do that. And, you know, I love the way you framed that, Pierrette, because many women keep their stories, and you and I both have worked a lot with women. That's been primarily my audience too. And we tend to keep our stories to ourselves. And I don't know whether that's out of a sense of humility or shyness or whatever other word you want to put out there. What I have learned is that it is by the sharing of stories, which I know you know too. Mm-hmm. It's by the sharing of stories that we do provide hope and inspiration, because then people can look at women like you and me and relate, as opposed to feel intimidated or non-approachable or anything like that. So I openly and happily share my story because I know I'm not the only one. So I was living, right now I'm coming to you from London, Ontario. I was living in Edmonton for 33 years. And during that time, actually, I was living in Montreal, and I went to Edmonton when my twin sister and her husband got transferred to a military base there. And I went for 6 months just to check out the West Coast. 33 years later, it had become my home. And so what happened, though, I've had a great life. I've had a really great life, a happy life, a very fulfilling life, a very rewarding career as well. But then that period of time came, and I know many of your listeners can relate, because when you get to a certain age and stage, life happens. Now, for many people, from what I know from my friends and my colleagues, it'll happen in stages usually. For me, the black cloud came in, and it settled, and it seemed like all the crap in life happened at once. Simultaneously, and I'll elaborate a bit, but simultaneously, I was on contract with the Pacific Institute out of Seattle, Washington, which was a private international education-based organization. So the work I did with the Pacific Institute was all focused on cognitive psychological programs. What that means simply is programs and teachings around how the mind works, critical thinking skills, change management programs. Lou Tice, the president, was my coach, my mentor, my friend, my role model. And so over the course of the 10 years, I was also part of the International Speakers Bureau. So I traveled a fair bit. I was mentored by incredible resources. And I was growing in leaps and bounds, because you know me by now, I'm a sponge.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, on the home front, my husband, who was 10 years older than me, his focus, we had 5 acres, his focus was in the back, in the shop, and really retreating away from the world. Mm. So as you can appreciate, as time was going by, my world was expanding, and he wanted his world to really just get so small, make the world go away. So that was a big part of the struggle. And that's where you mentioned the title of my other book, Stop Compromising. That's where it really came to the forefront about how I had really developed the practice, mastered the habit of compromising in my life. So now let me flash back to the comments I was making about life. So not only was I growing, the marriage was falling apart, the relationship was falling apart. Then in this period, short period of time, my father-in-law, now my husband was 10 years older than me, so his father was a senior. So he was diagnosed with terminal cancer. He was the love of my life, seriously, best man you could ever meet. My mother-in-law was in the final stages of Alzheimer's disease.
Wow.
I was her caregiver. My best friend was dying of breast cancer. Wow. Our kids, who had just gotten married, were expecting their first children. They were expecting twins who were born at 25 weeks.
Wow.
One of whom was, you can imagine, right? Like just
you had it all.
it was all happening. The one little baby was taken off life support.
Oh,
I was handling the funeral. All of this is going on like in a matter of time like this. I sat down one day, and actually I was at a marriage counselor's office, and I sat down and he looked at me, the counselor, and he said, "You know, you need to make a decision. We have nothing more to talk about. You have done everything possible to make this marriage work. It takes two. There's only one of you here in the room." So I left that counseling session, and I went to see my girlfriend who was dying. She wanted to go out for lunch. It was our last lunch together. I don't know if I ever told you this, Pierre. She looked at me and she said, She took her wig off because she had cancer. She took her wig off because it was a hot day. And she said, you know, she said, I'm the one who's dying. When are you going to really start living your life?
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. That was the start of the lunch. So I went home that day and I made the decision. It all starts with a decision, everybody. I made a decision. And that decision was to stop compromising. That decision was to leave the marriage. I had always put my husband's dreams first. I always put my stepchildren's wishes ahead of mine. That transferred on over into my business. I worked with clients who were less than ideal. I didn't charge what I was worth. And my whole life was really compromised. I'm the good French-Canadian Catholic military daughter, right?
Yeah.
Keep everyone happy, be the peace giver, and so on. And it just reached a point, like my girlfriend said, you got to start living. So on my 55th birthday, I did make the decision. I walked out of the marriage. And you've seen, Purit, just what I left with.
Yeah.
It was really the equivalent of my life in a trash bag because my soul was dying. And I knew that what I was walking away from was just stuff. It's just stuff. And I know this is so in alignment with the good work that you're doing. It was just stuff. And I knew, and I believed in myself because of my work with Lou Tice, I knew I could reinvent. I knew I could transform my life. I knew I had to get out of there or I was going to die. So after my father-in-law died, my mother-in-law died, my best friend died, la, la, la. And really, it was like, it was very symbolic of my life just falling away and really releasing me to a new life.
Mm.
So I moved across the country at 55, came to London, didn't know anybody, no business, no nothing. One of the compelling reasons is because my mother was living on the military base in Trenton. That's where my parents retired. My dad had passed. My mother and I had been estranged for 10 years, and this was another decision I made. She didn't like my ex-husband, and so when she heard that I had left, she called me. She called me, and she said, first of all, and all of you are going to love this, so typical, I told you so.
Oh.
First word. But here was the thing. I made the decision in that moment, too, when I saw call display to pick up the phone.
Mm.
So those were her first words. So I knew it was my mother.
Yeah. It
was the real deal. And then she said, what can I do to support you?
Mm-hmm.
So I moved east to reconnect with my mother. That was one of the top reasons. And I did. And we had the best. I went up and down the 401 every weekend for years to reconnect with her and help her move into a nursing home and help her through illness. And I was there when she passed. So that was a blessing. And so since then, what I've done, the first year here was really tough. I didn't know anybody. I thought I would come and hang out my shingle and they would come, right? A lot of entrepreneurs think that. Doesn't work that way. I was starving. So I got a job for a year, made some money, tucked the money away. And then after that 1 year, stepped back into my business of coaching and speaking at age 57. So this is a bit of a long version of my story, but I know there's compelling points in there that your audience can relate to.
Yeah, and it's never too late too, right?
That's the point.
People think it's too late for them, and it's absolutely not.
And that was really one of my realizations in that I probably have another good 30, 40 years. My mom was 89, and she was in pretty good health, generally speaking, and I'm just like her. So why would I settle and sell out in that marriage, also holding back my gifts and my talents? I'd come back from a major speaking engagement, and my ex-husband, like in nanoseconds, would bring me right down. Who do you think you are? Why do people pay that kind of money to listen to you? And it was just so almost psychotic. I just couldn't take it anymore.
Right.
So to come here and get back into the game and hire great coaches and surround myself with nurturing people like my brother who lives an hour away is my best friend, and to reestablish a connection with my mother, like it's all been good. It's all been positive. I've worked my butt off too. This is not
that I know.
Yeah, there's no easy button. I am very disciplined. I'm very focused. But here's the difference between me and many entrepreneurs who are struggling. I was hungry, figuratively.
Yeah,
I was hungry. I had no fallback. I had no savings account. In fact, my husband had the spousal credit cards because he wasn't working and I supported him. So the debt was going up. I needed to get out the door every day and make it happen. And I did. And so flash forward now, it's been 7 years in this business, and we reached 500,000 last year, and I'll reach the million this coming year. And I'm sharing that. Again, I go back to the words of hope and what you said. It's, first of all, it's never too late. Secondly, if I can do it, you can do it. Thirdly, money touches everything, people.
Yeah.
So I really have learned to get past that whole compromise mindset. That's all it is. Shift your thinking to really raise your value, raise your sense of self-worth, raise your self-confidence, also improve your skills too. You and I both have invested a lot in coaching and technical training and implementing all that we've learned. And now I charge a really good fee because I'm worth it. Mm-hmm. And I know money touches everything and money changes things. So as I was telling you when we first came online together, my event in Toronto was coming up. In the last 6 months, I have been coaching and mentoring three entrepreneurs from South Africa. I was there in March for International Women's Day to speak, and I've been coaching and mentoring them. And because I have made good money, I've invited them as my guests to come to my three-day event. And we're having a special pre-event reception with them. I couldn't do this without the increased self-confidence, without the coach, without the hard work, but also, and more importantly, the belief in myself and the fact that life is short. We all think we have time, but we don't. And that's my story.
So I know that some of the viewers are watching this interview going, I'm stuck. I don't know if I can do this. You know, it might be, I'm glad for you, Pat. I'm so happy you were.
And also I hear it. Easy for you. Oh, easy for you, Pat. Yeah, right.
I don't think it's easy. No. I do think that there are going to be some of the women who are watching this going, I don't know if I can do it. I don't, I know there's a bigger purpose to my life. There's more to my life. Or if they're in the caregiver role, if they're in that role where they have responsibilities, they can't just pack up and go, but they know it's time to step into still living fully. That's the whole purpose of women living fully. Mm-hmm. You might be going through a challenging time. It might be really hard for you. But every day there's something great that can happen, and every day is an opportunity to live fully.
Yeah.
So what do you say to that based on where you were? You had that dark cloud and you were going through it all. How did you continue to stay focused? How, and looking back, I think it's easier, right? That hindsight gives you perspective. So what would you recommend to those who are feeling stuck, who are feeling overwhelmed, who are just feeling down and depleted?
Yeah, well, I know I've been there, that's for sure. And let me say this too. I'm going to be totally vulnerable with all of you. Mm-hmm. If I had known before I walked out the door, before the separation, before the divorce, if I had known before just how hard it was, I don't know that I would have had the courage to do it. So, yes, it is hard. And sometimes it's better not knowing. But now that you know, and some of you really do want to take that step, but you're feeling stuck, there's a few things that work for me. And one is my faith. I have very strong faith. I believe in God. There are days when you just need to let go and let God. And there were many days I did that. In my gratitude journal at the end of the day, I would just write, thank God the day's over. But there's always something to be grateful for, is my point. And the second piece is friends. I had a tight circle of girlfriends, and without them, I'm not in the interview, an interview I did this morning, I was saying one of the, I'm not even sure the word to use, one of the missing pieces I see in many marriages is that the women get into the marriage and then devote everything to the husband, to the kids, to the in-laws, and you let go of your friends and a bit of who you are. That's a big mistake. And fortunately, I had my friends. And so that was my lifesaver, if you will. So the faith was first, the friends were second, and then my brother, my best friend, who encouraged me on a regular basis to, it's okay, you can do this, we're here for you. And that, so that along with my training and what I learned from Lou Tice is really what I put together. I took my journal, and that's why I created this book here. So one of the things I've created in my life now is the opportunity to fly around the world in a private plane every fall. I get to go to 10 countries and I blog the trip. So when you see this, that was the stop in India. And what we did was we cleared everybody out of the way and said, oh, there's a best-selling author coming to take a very important picture for her book. So everybody cleared out, and we did the Princess Diana thing, right? But the book is Who Am I Now? Because when I landed here, that was my question. As an ex-stepmother, there's no written description or plan or strategy on who are you? Where do you fit? How do you fit? So I wrote this. And in this book, I do list all the steps I took and the resources I used, Purette, to get me from there to here. And here, let me tell you, it's kind of like the rainbow after the storm. My here is a very happy life, a very fulfilling life. New friends, great clients, beautiful city. I have a house. I have a car. It's all good. And again, if I can do it, you can do it.
And what I've always loved about you, it's not about the stuff, right? Your success is not about the stuff. It's about how you contribute, how you show up for others. And you have a really big heart. You want to help. But you're also at the place where, you know what? I love how you say, I just don't compromise anymore.
No more. Yeah. No. And it's interesting because I get some interesting feedback from my clients around that. Mm. Because I will say to them, go charge what you're worth. Stop giving things away. I also say to them, stop volunteering. You're volunteering all over the place and all you're doing is keeping busy so that you don't need to sit down and make a sales call. So you are compromising on your gifts. And in my opinion, it is a moral responsibility for each and every one of us to take our gifts out to the world because we're all different. The work you do, Purette, is different than the work I do. Mm-hmm. We all have a gift and we must take it out there and we must monetize it because quite honestly, people will pay. They want to pay. So if they're going to pay, they might as well pay me. That's my philosophy and pay me well. So in turn, I can gift these women from South Africa a trip to Canada. Yeah. One of them was on Skype last week and she's 64, 65. And struggling in a retail business, women in South Africa are not entitled to bank loans. They don't get a lot of validation. And so she was just in tears saying, I feel like Cinderella.
Aww.
Well, good grief. Awesome. It's like, take me now, Jesus, because this is good work.
Yeah.
So no, I do not compromise. I do not compromise when it comes to who I spend time with. I do not compromise when it comes to how I spend my time. I do not compromise on my health. Because right now, that's my one driving force. I do not intend to work this hard indefinitely, and I work hard every day. There's an end in sight, so I do not compromise on my health, period. Just, it's non-negotiable. I don't compromise on my faith. I don't work on Sundays. You know, Purette, you and I know there's a lot of people in our industry who are always available. I'm not always available. Yeah. Sunday is my day. Yeah. It's my day to go to church, to reflect, to pray, to give thanks, to nap, whatever.
You always have great posts on Sunday to help those that are following your journey to stop. Uh-huh.
You know what's so interesting? I pull out my phone because of where I sit behind the sound booth. It's the perfume-free zone for me. And I'll always pull out my phone and wait for the first PowerPoint slide or something to come up.
Yeah.
And I'll take pictures and post it and invite people because I'm a greeter at church. Come to the next service. I'll be right there at the door. Come, come. I will be there to greet you. And I get criticism from people who are assuming what I'm doing on my phone.
Oh, right.
It's fascinating. So another lesson in all of this is don't judge.
Yeah. Mind your own business.
Yes. get your phone out and start an outreach program too.
Yeah. Start. And then what you're doing is sharing uplifting and inspiring messages. You're not texting about what's for dinner.
And as you said, and you were alluding to, I am also demonstrating boundaries.
Yeah.
I'm demonstrating how I live my life. I have multifacets to my life. So I do volunteer. I do give back. I do go to church. I do exercise. I go for bike rides. I eat ice cream. And I work hard.
Yeah. Could you share what you do with you? I love what you have done for, I don't know how long now, your gratitude journal. Mm. You have a library of them. And it's so
I do.
Inspiring.
Okay, so pardon the mess because this is my event place, but look way down over my shoulder. Yeah, green books?
Right in the bottom.
On the bottom shelf.
Corner there, yeah.
That's 18 years of gratitude journals.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you do that every day, a little message. If you don't know what they are, I'll post a picture of them. I'll even put a link. So if those that are interested in purchasing them, what to look for, tell us about that. Tell us about that gratitude journal.
Well, it's, you know, it's funny you mention that because it's Thanksgiving this weekend. So I write a newsletter to my clients every week. And this Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern, it comes out. And I took a picture of all the journals and I spoke about the attitude of gratitude, how that got me through the tough times, how it got me through the happy times. Listen, I have a great relationship with my stepchildren and with my grandchildren. And it's all good. So I wrote about gratitude and I took a picture of the journals. So it's also in my newsletter this week, which will be posted on Facebook too.
Right.
But it's five things at the end of every day. It's by my bed. I stop and I think about it all day anyway. So it's real quick exercise at night. It's just a habit for me. Set the alarm, write in the gratitude journal, turn the light out. That's it. Yeah. Five things that I'm grateful for every day. And I can already tell you today that I was so grateful for a surprise text from my granddaughter, which was just beautiful. Mm-hmm. I was grateful for the leftover turkey I had in the fridge for a turkey sandwich for lunch. So it's very easy when you get into that habit.
Yeah, and you can stay focused on what you're grateful for rather than everything that could be going wrong, right?
And that's so easy to do, which is why this practice is so critically important to your mental well-being. And let's face it, we would rather hang around people who are happy and grateful than the whiners and the complainers.
Yeah.
So absolutely. It's really easy. And like I said earlier, sometimes all I wrote in there through the whole separation was, thank you, God, that the day's over. And thank you, I have a pillow to put my head on. Good night. Yeah. That's all.
Do you have resources, Pat, to help us get through those days where it could be a struggle, a challenge, and you really want to be positive, right? I just went through a major experience myself this summer. And near the end of the experience, I felt I was depleting. I felt tired. I felt it was sucking the life out of me. And my goodness, I did everything in my power to stay positive and uplift, you know, that happy-go-lucky personality.
Yeah.
I could just feel it. It was going away. So even my toolkit, I tried a lot of things and some things were working and other things were not. So what has worked for you? What are some of the things that work for you when you're in that time and it's dark and it's, I got to get out of this. I want to stay positive. What do you do?
Well, the first thing I do is always acknowledge my faith. I always do. Yeah. I mean, God did not guarantee us happy rainbow, skip to my loo, my darling days every day of our life. There's no promise of that. And so my resources, my toolkit ranged from everything from my bike. I loved the bike. If there's anything I did bring from my other life, it was my bike. Mm-hmm. So I have my bike and I live about 5 blocks from the London Ice Cream Factory.
Oh, ice cream how convenient.
However, I also know it's easy for me to put on weight. So my commitment, my resource, if you will. There were days like that where I thought, I just need a good dose of chocolate ice cream. My tool was my bike because I made a commitment to get on the bike and work for that ice cream. Then I would sit in the moment right there on the bench and enjoy it and then ride back. So everything from that through to, there's a lot of audios that I have that I listen to, and it ranges from either just motivational or inspirational. Yeah. There's people like Bill Hybels from the Willow Creek Community Church, very uplifting audios available online. Love those. I love to read my gratitude journal. My brother is one of my resources. Going to church. I belong to a home study group, a Bible study group.
Okay.
And these women are not connected to me in business whatsoever. They vary. Three of them, in fact, are fighting cancer right now. So it gives me perspective. They're coming here tonight. So that's a resource for me. It's always easy to think, I'm just going to call and cancel. They will not let me do that. Mm-hmm. So they hold my feet to the fire at a minimum, not around business, but around life, to stay connected and to suck the oxygen out of them when I need it.
Yeah.
So that's a big resource for me. Sometimes it's just the fresh air outside. Yeah. Sometimes you just need to remove yourself physically. Go stand outside and just breathe in. And one of the other things I did when I first moved here and I felt really down and lonely, I didn't know anybody, I would go to the food bank or the shelters, especially on holidays, because listen, quite honestly, I was the new kid on the block. Nobody invites a divorced professional woman to a barbecue or a Thanksgiving dinner. I'll tell you that. Doesn't matter how friendly you are, you're not first in line for an invitation. So there were many holidays I was alone. And I didn't have the money to fly back to Edmonton. So I went to help other people who were in situations worse than me. So a full range, chocolate ice cream to the...
That's fantastic.
Yeah. And good friends to help you keep perspective.
Yeah.
So that one friend would say, well, why don't you just stay in your pajamas all day, watch movies and eat chips? Just do it. And then I'll check back in with you tonight because the party's over.
Yeah. That's great.
That's it.
Yeah, wonderful. Wonderful. Yay. So we're going to wrap up shortly. I want to remind everyone your website. So it's Pat Monsieur. PatMussieu.com or Pat Monsieur, and her last name is spelled M-U-S-S-I-E-X.
E-U-X.
I-E-U-X. If, you're about, yeah,
and if they don't catch that, Purette, we've simplified it too. You can also go to HirePat.com.
Yeah, that's easy.
Right there. Yeah.
Well, with this video in the blog page, it'll show there for sure. So for those that are interested to learn more about Pat, any upcoming events you may have, just go to her website. I'm going to put the link so they can purchase your book. Could you tell us a little bit more about the book itself and where they can get it? Is it available on your website?
It is. It's available in an e-version too.
Oh, so great.
You can download it immediately. Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Okay. And so like I say, the website will be there. Any closing thoughts for remarks for those that are watching this video?
The one thought that sticks with me, and I've been saying it all day on every interview I've been on, is Lou Tice was a great mentor for me. And there was one thing that he always reminded me of, and this linked back to the whole compromise thing. Lou got very frustrated watching me live my life the way I was living it with Jack. And if there was one thing that always stuck with me, it was the expression, if it's to be, it's up to me. Mm-hmm. And I know that one of my mentors, Dr. Robert Schuller from the Crystal Cathedral in California, he's recently passed. He wrote a book on that with that title, If It's to Be, It's Up to Me. So I hold on to that because the bottom line is I'm responsible for my happiness. Mm-hmm. I'm responsible for my finances. I'm responsible for living my best life. So if it's to be, it is up to me, period.
Fantastic. What a great way to end our time together. Well, thank you so much,
Pat. Welcome.
I really appreciate you taking the time out of your very busy schedule, especially pre-event, and spending some time with us to share your story and to inspire others. I do appreciate you. Love you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Right back at you. And my parting words for anybody listening to this, it's always great to listen intellectually.
Yeah.
It only matters when you go and apply it personally. So please take anything from this and go do something that will improve your life and therefore the lives of people around you. Thank you, Purette. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Pat. And for you, our Women Living Fully radio listeners, please stay tuned for more episodes as I bring to you more experts to help you live fully. That's all I have for you today. Take care, and I will be on the air with you again soon.